One American observer has written today that Australia may well be the world's most secretive democracy. The Australia Bureau Chief for the New York Times, Damien Cave, has penned a column for the New York Times putting that proposition. He says Australians need to push back harder against government control and journalists have to do a better job of explaining why that matters. Damien Cave joined me in the studio a short time ago.
These raids are really just the latest example of a massive grab by the government to control information. I mean, it's been going on really aggressively since 9/11, but even before that, this was a government that really felt like it had the power to decide what information the public could know.
So when you saw police coming into the ABC yesterday, when you read about Annika Smethurst, the journalist in Canberra, having her house raided, another journalist, Ben Fordham, being asked, you know, pushed to reveal his sources, are they the sorts of things that you would see in the United States?
I mean, I don't think you would necessarily see them in the United States, but you would see them in authoritarian countries that I've worked in. I mean, this is really an example of the state overreaching, really, and reaching into the homes and offices of people who are just trying to do their jobs and tell stories, frankly, that are clearly in the public interest. I mean, that's the thing that's worth remembering. This isn't just about showing up at a journalist's office because they've identified something that is really a threat to national security. It's hard to imagine that that's what's really going on here. This is about a government saying, we have the power to decide what information the public knows, not you, journalists. It's up to us.
But the government does say that this is simply the police doing their job, that there could have been laws broken here. The Australian Federal Police today have said, we support freedom of journalistic endeavour. We're just doing our jobs. There's no conspiracy here.
Right. And this is something that the police in authoritarian countries say, too, is we're just doing our jobs. This is our duty. You know, it's not our job to determine whether or not the country needs to know this information. If you have an issue with the laws, go talk to Parliament. Then you've got Parliament and leaders that say, well, we're just trying to keep you safe. Don't worry about it. If we say it's secret, it should really be secret. And the public, you know, we'll see if the public actually gets outraged about this. But for journalists who work closely at trying to hold government accountable, this is an outrageous act of intimidation. And it clearly looks like that for, as an outsider.
In the United States, you have constitutional protection, freedom of speech, freedom of the media. We don't have that embedded in our Constitution. Do you think that's an essential?
I don't know if it's an essential the way that the American system does it, but I do think there have to be protections for freedom of expression and freedom of speech, as opposed to what you have in Australia, which is basically a standard of law from 1914 that says no one is allowed to share any information unless the supervisor approves. So the foundation of freedom of expression in Australia is the opposite of the First Amendment. It's that you can't share anything. That's the standard.
What's the risk here, though? I mean, whistleblowers are still coming forward to journalists. That's why we had the Afghan files that the ABC published. It's why we had Annika Smethurst's story. It's why we had Ben Fordham's reporting. It's not killing journalism, is it?
Well, no, it's not killing journalism. Lots of these folks are still brave enough to come forward and they feel convicted and a conviction to do this. But the question I often ask is, well, what's not coming forward? You know, the absence of stories about corruption, the absence of stories about, say, a hack of ANU or what really goes on to certain things behind the scenes. You know, there's a lot that may not be being reported that we just don't know because people are afraid to come forward.
Do you sense after 2 years in Australia that Australians as citizens will decide to push back against this?
I can't say I'm very optimistic. I think that, you know, journalists feel very strongly about this. I don't know that we've ever done a good enough job of explaining why this matters or bringing the public along with us. And I think, like most people, Australians simply want to know that they're safe and that things are fine. And as long as that's the case, then a lot of these things just feel theoretical. But one of the things I hope people remember is that, you know, at some point, these knocks on the door could come to you. The government has a set of laws that have such extensive reach over our lives, including our digital lives, that it may be a journalist today, it may be a teacher at your school the next day who saw something that was a form of abuse. Or, you know, maybe your husband or brother is an officer and maybe they have connections to someone in federal law enforcement. And maybe that connection and that text message that seemed innocuous is suddenly a cause for a raid at your house. And so you have to remember that this can extend far beyond what it is now. This could be just the beginning.
And it's interesting that we're having this discussion in the week when the 75th anniversary of the D-Day landings is happening in Europe, well, everywhere. I mean, do you see a direct line between the defence of Europe at that time against Nazism and this conversation we're having today?
You know, it's an interesting question. I was speaking to an expert yesterday about this, and he actually made that connection and said, you know, what you're seeing in a lot of Western democracies is not so different than what we saw in the 1930s. You do have governments that are saying, we are the ones who will tell you what you can know. And if you're not with us, you're against us. You know, some of this stuff has been building up since 9/11, but a lot of people haven't necessarily noticed the degree to which this has grown. And this expert I was talking to was saying the other issue is that once you have this stuff on the books, it's very, very hard to get rid of it. Because once you tell the public this is what keeps you safe politically, it's almost impossible to dial it back. And so, you know, what will it take to avoid what it came to in the 1930s is a question that I think we have to grapple with.
Damien Cave, thank you.
Thank you.
Australia Bureau Chief for the New York Times, Damien Cave.